We've told you about Dan and Amber a couple of times this morning, and I know you have seen them several times in pictures and on videos, but this is Dan and Amber Sueza from Calgary, Alberta, Canada, all the way from north. I've talked to a couple of you this morning, and we've kind of talked about the fact that it's rained, and it's rained, and it's rained, and it's rained, and you've about had enough rain, but I want you to know, be glad you live in Medill, Oklahoma. It snowed in Calgary just this last week, so you could be where it's snowing. Be glad you're here. We're glad you're here this morning. I want to pray for Dan and Amber. They are transplanted Texans.
That's right.
To Calgary, Alberta, Canada. Been there about 6 years, and I was getting a chance to visit with them last night over dinner. It's interesting. I never thought about it until Dan said it, but he has not preached on a Sunday morning to a live crowd in about 14, 15 months. So he said, I'm a little nervous this morning. Canada is a different world from us, even though they're just across the border. So much of God's work to be done there, and they are doing a great job of it. And for you, thank you for supporting them. Let me pray for them, and then you listen as God uses them this morning, not just to tell you stories, but to tell you about Him. Don't miss out on that this morning. Let me pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for Dan and Amber. I just thank you for your divine providence and sovereignty to put us together, that we get to partner with people who are just called and gifted to do what you've called them to do. Lord, I just pray that you continue to bless them in their work. I thank you for the opportunity that they have to get to come home and see family and spend time here. But I thank you that even while they're on vacation, they wanted to get to come to First Baptist Medill to share what they have seen with their own eyes, what you're doing in their lives and in their church and in Calgary, Canada. Lord, I pray you bless them this morning. Give them the right words to say and give us the ears to hear. And I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you, Pastor Randy.
Yeah.
FBC Medill, we are so excited to be here. We have been partners for years, and to finally be able to be with you in worship is amazing. So
great.
Thank you for having us. It's been a long journey. It was a 4-day drive for us to come down here and be with you and our family in Texas, which has been really wonderful. We haven't actually been to Texas in 3 years.
That's right, yeah.
So we want to share a little bit today. I'm going to speak a little bit about Canada and Connect Church, and then Daniel is going to share a little bit about Jesus.
If she leaves me enough time, we'll see.
So I just wanted to share with you a little bit first about us. So Daniel and I have been married almost 17 years. In July, it'll be 17. Man, we got old. And we celebrated our 10-year anniversary in Canada. We had never been to Canada before in our whole life. And we thought, where should we go for our 10-year anniversary? And so we flew to Calgary, Alberta. We knew nothing about Canada. But in 2014, in April, it had just snowed. It was the most gorgeous thing we'd ever seen. We went skiing, and God grabbed a hold of our heart. And in no way, shape, or form were we looking. We were doing student ministry in Florida at the time. In no way, shape, or form were we looking to leave. But God turned our world upside down and said, you're leaving, and you're going, and you're going to start a church that we knew nothing about how to do in the first place. So if he can do it with us, he can do it with you. Just be open to whatever God has for you every single day. He might not take you to Calgary, Alberta, but he is calling you to do something and leaving opportunities for you every single day.
So good.
So I want to share first a little bit about Calgary, Alberta. The population is 1.3 million people in Calgary. And the average home price is $509,000. So it's a bit of an expensive city. Way more expensive than Florida, which is what we are used to. 5% of the city claims to have a relationship with Jesus. That means 95% of anyone you would meet, there's a chance that 95% of those, they have no relationship with Jesus. They're not craving Jesus. They're not seeking. 95% of even the people in our church, their family, their work life, that's the influence that they're around. They don't know Jesus. So that's why we felt a strong calling to go and plant a church and share Jesus. And there is a strong opportunity in Calgary, let me tell you. But before I tell you about that, I'm sure you're wondering, how cold does it get? So we're going to flip the slide. Oh, we're missing our slides. Oh, right there. This is Betty White. This is our dog. We don't have any kids. We have two dogs. We're just going to show you one because she's the cutest. This is Betty White, and she hates the cold, but she's a Frenchie. And it can actually get to negative 40 degrees. And when it gets to negative 40, that's where Celsius and Fahrenheit meet. And they're the same. So if whatever negative 40 is to you is what negative 40 is to us. It's cold, but in the summer, it's the most beautiful thing ever. But I know that some of you have actually been there in some of the coldest weeks that we've had. So thank you for your sacrifice for Jesus. But I want to tell you about my favorite part about Calgary, Alberta, and Canada as a whole. So it is very, very diverse and multicultural. In fact, 45% of all of Canada is actually foreign-born. They come from some other country, so it's not their grandparents that are foreign-born. It's actually just regular, like, young people, older people, everybody. 45% of the country is from another country to begin with. And they have a heart for their country. Just like we're American, and we love America, and we want Jesus to be spread across America, they love their country. And there's 215 countries all over the world. 200 of those countries are represented in Canada. Only 100 countries are represented in the U.S. So 100 more countries are represented in Canada than the U.S. And here's why this is really interesting. There is no, in my opinion, there's no greater place to share the gospel and further the Great Commission than Canada. Because literally, as you share Jesus, you're sharing Jesus with all the nations. Because there's 200 countries living in Canada. So as I'm sharing Jesus in Calgary, Alberta, I'm sharing with Turkish people, with Ethiopians, with Hondurans, and they have a heart for their country. So as Jesus grabs a hold of them, they're going to want to share that back home. They're going to call their mom and say, listen, mom, Jesus, he is your Savior. He is your Lord. You need to trust and believe. And so by living in Calgary, Alberta, we are fulfilling the Great Commission by spreading the gospel, by you giving, by you going and visiting and sharing the gospel in Calgary, Alberta. You are actually spreading the Great Commission over all of the world because it is such a diverse and wonderful place to be.
And even those of you guys that never get the opportunity to come to Canada and spend a week on mission with us, the fact that you're here at FBC Medill and you're participating in the offerings, I mean, you guys have been one of our most generous financial partners. And so you are helping us, even if you're like, hey, I don't have my passport, or I'm too old to travel these days, or I don't like the cold, or I don't like Canadians. Doesn't matter what it is. You guys are helping us, and we're incredibly grateful for that.
Absolutely. So let me tell you a little bit about Connect Church. So we'll flip to the next slide. So we moved to Calgary, Alberta in 2015. We spent a year on the ground meeting people. We didn't have any friends in Canada. None. We didn't know anybody. And so we literally would just go sit in coffee houses and in swimming pools at the workout center and just try and meet strangers. And we made quite a group of friends in the first year. And we launched in 2016, September of 2016. And so we're a little over 4.5 years old. And on launch day, we had 189 people show up in attendance. And that was completely God and a full miracle because, again, we had no friends in Canada. And so it was a really beautiful thing. Since launch day, 317 people have given their lives to Jesus.
Amen.
66 of those people have actually followed through in believers' baptism, and we have a whole onslaught because we haven't been meeting in person for a year. We have a whole onslaught of people who are just waiting to get baptized right now. And on average, we run between 12 and 25 connect groups every semester. So that means that we have little mini house churches all over the city that anyone can join in. So even if they're not coming on Sunday, people are inviting their friends to their house to share in Bible studies and to grow deeper. Yeah. So our journey has been a difficult one, to say the least, because it's not so easy just to move to a different country. But I will tell you that God has opened doors of opportunity around every single corner. So while it's not easy, he makes a way.
Yeah.
Am I right?
Yeah.
And you guys have played a part in that, and it has been absolutely beautiful. So thank you for playing your part in partnering with us in Calgary, Alberta. So I'm going to flip to the next slide. So just in this last season of COVID, we lost our venue. We were meeting in a Cineplex. In the last slide that I showed you before this, we were meeting in a Cineplex in a movie theater, and we were a portable church. And almost every portable church that meets in Canada lost their venue.
Yeah.
Because all of the movie theaters closed, all of the schools closed, and they are no longer renting to churches. So we had to find a new venue, and it took us about 6 months to do that. And we found a new venue, and you guys partnered with us in such a huge way. So thank you for that, and helped us get into this new building here that we have that's right next to an outdoor mall called Deerfoot City in the center of the city. So now we're not quite on the north end. We're more in the center, which means that we can pull people from every single angle of the city and bring them in. And while we still cannot meet because of restrictions, we did have an Easter outdoor service. We'll flip to the next slide. We had a drive-through service where we had different stations, and they would pull up, and we would pray over them. We would share the message of Jesus. We had worship where they could listen in their car.
I preached 52 two-minute sermons in a row. Like, my voice was hoarse. How many services you guys have on a weekend? 52?
It was really fun and something that we'll always remember and cherish because it was just another opportunity for us to share Jesus. But we are hoping that restrictions are going to loosen by July and we will be able to meet in our building, our brand new building, for the very first time.
Yes.
So thank you for partnering with us. Please pray for us as we continue to try and bust through those hurdles that are in our way, and we're going to meet together again in person and be able to worship together. And I just want to leave with you an impact that you made. So your very first mission team that came to Calgary, Alberta, you came and helped us with a food truck rally, which was awesome. We always need so many hands that week. And you helped us count money, and we raised support for the community. And then I invited you, and we're going to flip to the next slide. I invited you to come help us build a relationship with a couple that was not believing in Jesus at the time. And this is Shanna and Dave. And Shanna actually was very, very far from Jesus. But for some reason, she asked Daniel to marry them. And so while you were in town, we asked you to help put Shanna's wedding hall together.
She was decorating. Who was there that helped us set up that wedding venue? It was such a weird little project, but you guys, there were a few of you guys that came and helped us out.
You were probably looking at us like, why are we setting someone's wedding
up? Like, I didn't come to Canada to be a wedding planner, bro. People get paid for this stuff.
But she actually told me, if they had not come to help me, I would have been there till 5 a.m. setting up the night before her wedding. And so you guys came and helped her finish setting up all her decorations. And at the time, she was not a believer. And so I asked her, I said, hey, I'm going to speak at this church where, they came in to help you. Is there anything that you want them to know? And this is what she said. As a non-believer, it was amazing to see how nice Christians were. I appreciated their willingness to help with no agenda and no incentive. Their selflessness was a true example of Jesus. And So as much as I said I didn't want Jesus at my wedding, he was present in so many ways because of the people that made that day special and possible.
So good.
So a little bit of background story for Shanna. She actually had a faith system in New Age beliefs, in fairyology, and some
angelology, tarot cards. I mean, yeah. She was out there.
She was really into all of that, and she started coming to Connect Church, not on Sunday morning, but through a Connect group. And the first group that she came to was actually a board games night, because that was really interesting to her. So it was a social group where they mostly played board games, but believe me, Jesus is shared at board games night. So she starts coming, she starts meeting other people from Connect Church, and they sit and talk a little bit about Jesus, and it piques her curiosity. So she's not a believer, but she's curious. And she says, I want to learn more about why you believe in Jesus. So the next semester, she actually joins another Connect group on how to study the Bible. So she buys a Bible, and she starts learning to study the Bible before she's ever a believer. And then she finally comes to Connect Church for the very first time. And God grabbed a hold of her heart. And she starts asking us questions, lots and lots of questions. So some people just jump into faith. They're like, I know that Jesus is calling my name. I need to be all in. But she was wrestling with it hard. And I'm telling you, we would go out to coffee. We would go out to dinner and just question after question after question. And then one day she says, I believe. And she made Jesus her Lord and Savior. And now she is actually serving on our lead team as one of our team leaders for Connect Kids. Mm-hmm. So she went from a few years ago to not even wanting Jesus mentioned at her wedding to coming and serving on our team every single Sunday to becoming a leader and discipling children and discipling new believers. It's absolutely amazing.
Yeah, praise God for that. And, you know, I mean, the story gets so much better. Her husband, Dave, was, he grew up Catholic, but he never really owned his faith, and he had drifted from God, and once his wife started to make a profession of faith, suddenly he starts getting interested in spiritual things. They have both committed their faith to Jesus. Did I do something wrong? Uh-oh. Okay. See, it's first Sunday back. I don't know. I probably messed something up. They both committed their hearts to Jesus. They've both been baptized. They are both serving, and they're some of our very dearest friends. And you guys who showed up and helped us set up at her wedding, such a small thing that was, you really helped us to further that relationship, to get it where God wanted it to be, so that their lives can be transformed, their families can be transformed. They've got a little baby girl now, and she's in church every single Sunday. I mean, it just couldn't be better. So we want to say thank you so much for all the support that you've given to Connect Church over the years. We look forward to many more years partnering together to reach Canadians, to reach Filipinos that are living in Canada, to reach the nations so that God can be glorified, people can have their eternities changed. So thank you, thank you, thank you. And I'll say thank you to my wife. She mostly stayed within the time limit. That was pretty good. I've only got about 20 minutes, so I'm going to do my best to preach in that time, okay? All right. Let me start by asking you guys what might seem like a weird question. How many of you guys like to fly? Who likes to fly in here? Some people do. I like to fly. I enjoy this. Now, how many of you are like, you're crazy. I hate flying. It's one of the worst experiences on the planet. Okay, many of you. My wife is the same way there. Okay, whether you love flying or you hate flying, one of the key factors that's going to determine whether or not you have a good experience or a horrible experience is who's sitting next to you on the plane. Are you with me? Yes, that is like the biggest factor, okay? There are a lot of things that can go right, but if you have the wrong person sitting next to you, it is going to be miserable no matter what. A good seatmate, hey, makes all the difference. Now, what does the best seatmate look like on a plane? Who do you want sitting next to you on the plane? Now, it's not just somebody that has showered, okay? It's not the person who puts in their earbuds, puts on their eye mask, and just goes to sleep the whole flight. That's actually not the best seatmate to have on a plane. The best seatmate you can have on a flight is the person that didn't show up, okay? That is the best person to have sitting next to you on a flight. Oh my goodness, isn't it a blessing from Jesus when you're sitting there and all these people keep walking past you and you're like, maybe nobody's gonna sit here. And they shut that front door and you're like, hallelujah. I'm sitting up against the window and I have this empty middle seat, man. There is nothing better than that. Well, actually, it's not true. There is one thing better than that. See, if you're really living right, if you've got the favor of God just all over you, then you might actually end up on an empty row. You know, there are three seats on a plane, right? And you might be on one and the other two. Oh, I've had this happen one time to me, okay? One time to me when I was flying, and it was the most glorious experience in my entire life. I didn't have to fight anybody for that armrest. I could stretch out all I want. I'm not a big guy, but plane seats are small. I could stretch out all I wanted to. I could eat all the stinky food I wanted. Didn't even matter. You know what I'm saying? Like, I felt like a king, okay? And I hope you guys don't take offense at what I'm about to say, but when you're flying and you're sitting in an empty row, that is basically Marshall County first class, you guys. I'm not even going to lie. Like, this is just about as good as it gets. I say that respectfully, okay? When I'm back home and I make that joke, I say it's Wise County first class, so don't worry about it, all right? I mean, it is good when you have an empty seat next to you on the plane. But have you ever considered that the thing that makes a flight so wonderful, an empty seat next to you, is actually the thing that will ruin a party? Okay, when you're on a flight, when you're on a plane, you want as many empty seats as you can possibly have. One of the worst things is for there to be a lot of people there. But when you go to a party, the thing you really want is a place full of people. You don't want empty seats. You don't want it to be weird and awkward. I don't know if you've ever been to a party that has like six people at it. You're like, okay, do you not have friends? Do you not throw a good party? I don't know, it's kind of strange. Even if you're, well, let me start this way. If you're an extrovert and you go to a party, you want a lot of people there, so you have lots of interesting folks to talk to, right? If you're an introvert like me, you actually want a lot of people at a party. Why? So that you can hide in the corner, and all the extroverts will keep themselves busy talking, and you don't have to engage. If there are only a handful of people at the party, you better believe every one of them is going to eventually single you out. You're like, I just want to hang out and be quiet. I don't want to talk to anybody, okay? So the thing that makes for a good flight makes for a bad party, and the thing that makes for a good party makes for a bad flight. So let me ask you a question. I'm going to tie this together. He's going somewhere, I hope, with this. I am. All right. On the spectrum of empty plane to full party, where does a church service fall? On the spectrum of an empty plane or a full party, where does a church service fall? We prefer the idea of empty seats on a plane. But I wonder if some of us don't secretly, deep down inside, like the idea of empty seats at church, too. Like, deep down inside, we're like, yeah, you know, I mean, it would be nice if the whole building was full and everybody in our town knew about Jesus, but it's not always easy when people come to faith. Man, we'll tell you stories of folks who have put their faith in Jesus, and then they do the craziest stuff in the world, and you're like, I thought you guys were saved. It takes time, doesn't it? It's not always the easiest thing in the world, okay? And here's my guess, okay? And I'm not preaching at you, I'm preaching at me. My guess is that God looks at empty seats differently than you and I look at empty seats. That even though I like to think, oh, yeah, I know how God thinks and feels and believes, and, you know, we're right there. One, you know, I'm with him, right? I'm afraid that sometimes when I read the scripture, I'm like, whoa, I look at this very differently than God does. Maybe I need to readjust what I believe or what I'm doing so that I can bring it in line. All right, I want to read you a passage, a well-known parable, called the Parable of the Great Feast from Luke chapter number 14. We've got the verses here on the screen, or you can pull out a Bible. I'm going to be reading from the New Living Translation here. Luke chapter number 14, the Bible says, a man who was sitting at the table with Jesus exclaimed, what a blessing it will be to attend a banquet, a party in the kingdom of God. And then in verse 16, Jesus replied with this story. A man prepared a great feast and sent out many invitations. When the banquet was ready, he sent his servants to tell the guests, come, the banquet is ready. But they all began to make excuses. One said, I've just bought a field and I have to go inspect it. I guess that's what you do when you're a farmer. I have no idea. Please excuse me from the party. Another said, I've just bought 5 pairs of oxen and I want to try them out. Please excuse me. And another said, I just got married, so I can't attend. The servant returned and told his master what they had all said. His master was furious, and he said, go quickly into the streets and alleys of the town and invite the poor, the crippled, the blind, and the lame. And then after the servant had done this, he reported, there's still room for more. So his master said, Go out into the country lanes and behind the hedges and urge anyone you find to come so that the house will be full. Go out and urge anyone you can to come so that the house will be full. You know, I don't have a lot of time, so I'm going to start moving fast through this, okay? According to Jesus here in this passage, God is really into parties. God is really into parties, okay? We look in verse number 16, and we read here that the story he tells is about a man who prepared a party. Now, I don't know if you know this, but anytime you read a parable, basically there is one character that is designed to represent God, and there is at least one character, sometimes multiple characters, that are designed to represent you. So if you read a parable, you need to be asking yourself, in this story, who is God and who am I? And in this particular parable, the parable of the great banquet, God is represented by the nobleman who throws a party, who wants to get all of his friends and everybody in the town together in order to celebrate. Now, when I say party, there are a lot of different images that might come to your mind. And when I say that God likes to throw parties, I'm not talking about ragers, okay? Not the ones where you vomit in a fish tank and don't know who you're waking up next to. This is a different kind of party, all right? God likes to throw parties. And if you ever study the number of times in Scripture that God is compared to somebody who throws parties or feasts or banquets or festivals, your mind would be blown. I mean, excuse me, guys. Jesus could have chosen any number of images. He could have chosen any number of analogies in order to compare God to. And he chose to compare God to somebody who throws parties. Now, I don't know about you, but most people where I live don't think of God as a party planner. They think of God as like a cosmic accountant, right? And he's up in heaven, and he's keeping a list of everybody's sins, and he doesn't like what he sees. He's angry, right? That's the picture that most people have of God. Now, I don't want to offend anybody. I feel like I'm saying that a lot this morning. If you're an accountant here this morning, okay, accountants are not generally known for throwing the greatest parties, okay? But God is pictured as a nobleman who wants to throw a great, huge, grand, wonderful party to which everyone is invited. See, I think if most religious people showed up to one of God's parties, like the party that God wants to have Sunday mornings at church, I think there'd be a lot of religious people that would be uncomfortable, right? Because we're so concerned about making sure that we don't look like the world, and we're so worried about going too far and things like that, that we're like, okay, let's just keep our hands in our pockets and we'll mumble some words as we sing together and things like that. God says, no, I want to have a party. My kingdom is like a party. Sunday morning should be like a party. People should know that coming into my family is like coming into the most joy-filled family you could ever imagine, ever anywhere. Most people think church is like a school or a prison. But God says, hey, my kingdom, my family, my church, it's a feast. It's a party. Now, second thing I want you to see here from the passage. According to Jesus, everyone is invited to God's party. God really likes to throw parties. In fact, that's the imagery that Jesus uses. And according to him, everyone is invited to God's party. You see there in verse number 23 that the master said, I want you to go out into the country lanes. He didn't even tell him to go to the city. He said, go get the country boys, all right? Bring them back, everybody you can, because I want this party to be full. If you pay attention to what Jesus says here in the parable, anybody and everybody is welcome at God's party. Religious people and irreligious people are actually welcomed into God's party. Wealthy people and poor people are welcomed equally into God's party. Healthy people and not so healthy people, the ones that cough, you know, when they're on stage with a microphone in their hand. Guess what? You're welcome into God's party. Different ethnicities, both genders, every single person is welcome in God's party. There is literally no one that does not have a seat at God's table. I'll go a step further than that, and I'll say there is not one person in this town that does not have a reserved seat at God's party. You ever go to a party and they've got like your little placard, you know, your name? It's like, oh, you sit here. And you're like, okay, this party's going to be lame. They have name tags. But anyway, every person has a reserved seat at God's table. I don't know if you know that. Maybe it some other church, I know you haven't heard this here, but at some other church they told you you had to change in order to be accepted by God. You had to get rid of your piercings. You had to cover up your tattoos. You had to change your life all around and prove that you were worthy of it. You had to give money in the offering, you know. You had to do a lot. And if you did, then maybe they would think about penciling you in at the party. But listen, you read the words of Christ here, and you find out that every single person is welcome at the party, regardless of who they are, what their background is. And I say hallelujah to that, because I'll tell you guys, I was a trailer park kid in Texas. I was born to a couple of meth heads. We had absolutely nothing at all, and my life was a disaster before I found Jesus. Everyone has a reserved invitation to God's party. Every single person. And that's why we should continue to pursue diversity in Christ's church. We should welcome in absolutely everybody. At Connect Church, my wife mentioned this to you. Like, and I mean this, I celebrate this, okay? White people are the minority at my church. I walk in and I'm like, okay, this is great. I've got more Filipinos than I can count. We've got more Africans at our church, like actual Africans. They move from Africa. I've got more Africans at my church than I can possibly count. I love the ethnic diversity. We've got old people and young people. Man, when we first started our church, I used to pray, God, we've got a lot of young families. We don't have anybody with snow on the roof. You know what I mean? Like, we don't have any seniors. And we need that maturity. God, help us. I want grandmas and grandpas at my church. Why? Because they're going to be grandmas and grandpas in heaven. Okay? So we want a church that represents the fact that every single person has an invitation, regardless of who they are or where they come from, okay? We'll let, like, skeptics or true believers in. Heck, even Texans are welcome in the kingdom of God, you guys. It's that good, I'm telling you. Okay, although we're all freely invited, it's up to us whether or not we're going to attend. You saw how these people were making excuses, and they said, nope, I can't come. I'm busy with this. I'm busy with that. I think their excuses were kind of lame, like, I bought some cows and I need to go look at them. It's like, okay, you're just making up stuff at this point, buddy, all right? But listen, we do the same thing, don't we? God calls us to something. Some of you have been called by God. God has been calling you for weeks and weeks and months and even years. And you've said, I'm busy. When I get done with school or after I get married and I'm ready to settle down, then Jesus, I'll come back. Don't worry. I know you'll be there. One day I'll come back to you. No. Stop putting it off. Don't delay. The invitation has been given, and every single one of us has been invited to this great and glorious party that God is throwing. Okay, last thought that I want you to see here. God is really into parties. He absolutely is. And that's the imagery he wants you to think of when you think of his family, his kingdom, and his church. Everybody, I mean everybody, belongs at God's party. The problem is, according to Jesus anyway, that too many invitations remain undelivered. Too many invitations remain undelivered. You are carrying around invitations every single day to invite your coworkers, the people on your sports team, your friends, your neighbors, your frenemies, everybody that you know. You have an invitation, and you are the one that has been sent by the master to go invite people into the party, because the master hates empty seats. He wants his house to be full. He wants the party to be so chock full of people from every different background, and yet we're the ones who fail to let everybody know there's a party. It's the best party ever, and you are invited. Now listen, I know none of us would ever admit that we actually want empty seats. None of us would ever say that out loud, but full seats actually mean more work for us, because some of the people that show up, if we start giving invitations to everybody freely, come on, it doesn't even matter. If we start giving invitations freely to everybody, then we're going to have people that show up and they don't talk like us and they don't think like us. They're going to say, well, you know, when I was looking at my tarot cards the other day, and you're like, shh, 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 we don't talk about that at church, okay? We've had it happen. They're going to act very differently from us. And so sometimes it's easier, honestly, if we just give the invitations to people who are real close, you know, to the ones who are just, they're kind of like us. They just need a little help from God. And if they can get a little help, then they'll fit right in. Guys, can I challenge you? Go after the people that are not going to fit right in.
Go find the people that are going to be a struggle, and they're going to break your heart, and it's going to be difficult. Go out into the country. Go out behind the hedges. Go find the people who have issues and problems. To use the biblical word, go find the people who are lame. I mean, the Bible's using the word differently than me, but go find the people who are lame. Bring them in, okay? This is what we have been commanded. This is the wonderful opportunity that we have. We have an invitation to pass out every single day to the greatest party that's ever been imagined. The problem is we keep the invitation in our back pocket. We're scared. We don't invite people. And look, I get it. I face the same thing, okay? My culture is a lot like your culture up in Canada. It's hard to get people on board, to witness to them, to share the good news of Jesus. That's a hard thing. People reject it quite often, okay? But I'm not inviting them to a religion that is about rules and appearance. I am inviting them to a relationship with God, to the greatest party that's ever been imagined. And they don't have to change. They can allow God to change them. They don't have to prove they're worthy. All they have to do is admit they're not worthy. It is the easiest invitation that somebody could ever accept. All they have to do is say, yes. That's it. That is what we carry around. And if you don't believe that the fields are white under harvest and there are people who genuinely will respond, you show up knocking on the wrong door and you give a simple gospel invitation and a couple of people put their faith in Jesus, suddenly their lives are transformed. Their family's on a different track than it ever was before. If you don't believe that that can happen every single day, then you've missed the heart of Jesus and you missed the heart of the Father. I'm living proof. Those two people up there were living proof. Shanna is living proof. And hey, you are too. God loves parties. And everybody is welcome at his party. So why are you sitting on the invitation? Why am I sitting on the invitation? So here's what I'm going to challenge you to do. I want you to think, just ask God, God, bring somebody to my mind that needs this invitation. You're going to know who it is, and you're going to say, no, not them, God. Somebody else, please. Send me a different picture. I cannot talk to my boss about this. That will be weird. I can't talk to my brother-in-law. He's a jerk. He's already rejected this God. I can't talk to him again. Yes, you can. Yes, you can. We're going to ask God to give us a vision, a picture of somebody who needs the invitation, and then I'm going to challenge you. Oh, it's going to be hard, but I'm going to challenge you somehow, some way in the next week or two. I just believe it. God's going to give you an opportunity, and it's going to come to your mind, and you're going to say, ah, geez, here it is. This is it. I know I've got the invitation, and I'm supposed to invite him to church or to talk to him about Jesus. I know this is the moment. And you're going to have that opportunity. I'm going to pray that the Holy Spirit will give you the boldness and the conviction to point people towards Jesus. I know in your mind the enemy is going to be saying, they're not going to respond well to this. And I want you to remember two people who got baptized. I want you to remember two people who just happened to have missionaries show up at the wrong door and everything changed for them. Everything can change if we'll understand what God is really offering, who God is really offering it to. And if we'll acknowledge the problem isn't God, it's not the party, it's not even the people in the town of Medill. The problem is Christians who hold on to that invitation too long. God, please help us. Help us, help us, help us to know what a privilege it is to serve your kingdom and to do everything in our power to point people towards you. Yes, it'll be awkward, but God, you promised to give us exactly what we need in order to reach the people that you have called as your own. So we thank you for this promise. We thank you even for the challenge. Lord, help us, help us, help us to glorify you and to bring people into your heavenly party this week. We love you and thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Great job. Thank you, Dan, for bringing that word to us. Hey, this morning, here's what I want to do. This won't surprise you. If you're here this morning and somebody's handed you an invitation and you've been invited to God's party, but you haven't accepted the invitation, I want you to know this morning, it's just a simple yes, like Dan said. Our staff will be here at the front. We'd love to tell you how to make Jesus the Lord of your life. If you're one of the others this morning who has already accepted Christ as your Lord and Savior, and you got that vision, This is not going to surprise you, but what do you think I'm going to tell you is step one? Pray. You pray for the opportunity, and you pray for that person. Certainly, you can do it in your chair, but I'd invite you to come to the altar. I'd invite you to come to the altar and pray for who it was that God put in your mind, that God would give you an opportunity this week to invite them to the party. Stand with us if you would, and we're going to sing. You be faithful to what God has spoken to you this morning.